Hello, I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Last week, we aired a special program called Power Grab, a pen, a phone, and a president. That program is so important and the response to it so powerful that we want to bring it to you again this week. We believe it's an issue of vital national importance. The President of the United States has restraints placed on him by the Constitution. But what if he decides to cast off those restraints? What would happen? And how might that directly endanger you? You'll find out on this special program.
There is a big issue with executive overreach in our day.
I think the Barack Obama administration has showed us the incredible places that government should not go in the last 7-8 years.
This is unconstitutional, and it's not what our founders wanted.
It's not enough to blame Obama for his power overreach. I think it's you have to blame Republicans in Congress for allowing him to do it.
All three branches of government are supposed to be our servants, not our masters.
It's true that all presidents have issued executive orders, but what happens when those orders become illegal fiats, bypassing the Constitution and the elected representatives of the people? Well, that is exactly what is happening in our own day under President Barack Obama. On today's program, we'll show you some of the ways the president is overruling your will, expressed through your legislators, and substituting his own, and how that is endangering the nation. As we begin, our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb focuses on the heart of the problem.
President, he has used executive authority more than any president in history in terms of the consequences of these decisions, whether it has to do with immigration law, whether it has to do with issues of morality like gay rights, issues of the EPA and pollution permitting. All of these things, he's basically pulled an end run around Congress and decided himself through his executive agencies what the law of the land is going to be.
This tyranny that we've seen from an executive level is unprecedented, and I think it surprised many Americans who thought that Barack Obama, when he said transform our country, was actually going to unify us racially. There are many that are taken aback, including the black community who helped support him. A third of African Americans polled that they are evangelical and conservative. They're not feeling this very well, what he has done to transform this country to be a secular socialist state.
If there's one doctrine the founding fathers of America seem to agree upon, it's one revealed in the Bible and proven by all of history, that man is a sinner. Therefore, power was to be separated into three distinct branches of government. As James Madison, a key architect of the Constitution, once put it, all men having power ought to be distrusted.
Every school child knows there are three branches of government. It was one of the great wonders of our founding fathers to have that checks and balances. For the last 7 years, we've had an administration in Washington that believes the three branches of government are the president, his pen, and his telephone.
I've got a pen, and I've got a phone. And I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward.
This has been one of the markers of this administration, a disrespect for the three branches of government and a belief that in America we can have essentially somebody acting like their king instead of acting like they're the president of the United States.
There is a big issue with executive overreach in our day. We have a system of government where under the Constitution we have three separate branches, and the legislative branch is supposed to make the laws, the executive branch is supposed to enforce them, the judicial branch is supposed to interpret them. Right now we've got the executive branch actually making most of our laws. and doing so to the detriment of the American people, locking them out of the process.
This president has basically said, if I can't get Congress to pass a law that I want, whether it's dealing with immigration, whether it's something with Obamacare, if it's regulations dealing with the Environmental Protection Agency, then I'll just go in and basically have my folks at those different agencies enact the law on their own. That is not constitutional.
Recently, the Obama administration has come down hard on the state of North Carolina, threatening to withdraw millions of dollars in federal funding. Why? Because that state opposes the open bathroom policy for transgenders favored by this administration.
The people of North Carolina, Mississippi are wonderful people. I also think that the laws that have been passed there are wrong when it comes to respecting the equal rights of all people, regardless of sexual orientation, whether they're transgender or gay or lesbian.
It seems to me that if legislation comes from the people via the legislators, then all the debate, all the discussion, all the iron sharpening iron happens, and you will really get kind of a measured and mediated sense of the people's right and wrong. That's what laws really are. They are the moral judgments of a society distilled down into edicts we call laws. And so whenever we have a president that is overreaching, then he's circumventing this process.
Presidents have the right to sign executive orders, and every president has done so, and some more than others. The question is, do you do it within the realm of what the Constitution says are your rights as an executive? And I would argue that President Obama has overstepped those bounds. He's gone out and not just said, here's how I interpret something, but I actually want to change a law. That's happened with Obamacare over 20-some-odd different times. Whereas if you want to change what's in the law, you're supposed to go back to Congress and alter it, amend it. That's called amending the legislation. The Obama administration hasn't wanted to do that. They just amended on their own through Health and Human Services or whatever other agency he thinks he can get something through. That's overstepping.
And the executive overreach that we are witnessing has been aided and abetted by Congress. Congress is the one that has let the executive overreach, and now we're yielding the fruits of that.
All of this is no mere academic question. A bit later on this program, we will show you how this abuse of executive power is chipping away at your freedoms, sometimes with deadly consequences. Liberty is a right given to us by God through America's founders. These were certainly flawed men, yet they understood their own limitations and worked diligently to protect us from other flawed leaders, principally by establishing a government of laws under a written constitution. This was a great gift. In our day, it's a gift that's being squandered.
The founding fathers of America were very careful to separate power. They knew that man was basically sinful, and so they didn't want the power in America to concentrate in any one hand or a small minority of people, an oligarchy, if you will. Well, human nature has not changed. Human nature is the idea that people basically pursue their self-interest when, even if that interest is adverse to the rights of their fellow citizens or adverse to the public interest. And you need a Republican constitution to constrain the exercise of government power. When you empower certain individuals, you give people power over other people. They may actually serve their own interest or the interest of their cronies and buddies rather than the interest of the public, and you need a Republican Constitution to rein that in, and our founders understood human nature. They devised a text of a Constitution, a structure that would be very effective at combating that.
The Constitution is far from perfect, as were its creators, but they recognized there would be the need to amend it from time to time through the consent of we the people. The problem, critics note, is when it is unofficially amended from time to time in ways that bypass we the people.
Presidents, unfortunately, have a history of taking a license with the executive authority and doing all kinds of damage to the United States of America. Woodrow Wilson is the first president in a major way to go outside of those bright lines between the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the judicial branch. It continued, of course, in a major way with Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the so-called New Deal. Lyndon Johnson absolutely exploded the size of the federal government, far more than Wilson, far more than FDR. Now you come all the way down to President Obama. And I think it's also fair to say that there are a lot of Americans who have surveyed the damage over the course of the last 8 years, directly emanating from the West Wing. And they have said, what are we going to do about this?
The founders and executive overreach, they said, we don't trust each other. We're going to separate power. So this government overreach has to be confronted. This is not the role of the federal government to reach into states, number one. We have a constitutional amendment that says that states have rights. But it's also this overreach is going into space that belongs to the Congress.
I think the founders would say, wait a minute, you know, you have an executive responsibility to execute these laws that Congress passed. If you don't like the laws, then repeal them. But you can't just, you know, I like that law, I think I'll enforce that one. I'm not so hot about that one, so we won't enforce that one. And what's the point of having laws if we're not going to enforce them?
When executive overreach becomes the norm, freedom suffers. Nowhere is that more clear than with President Obama's edicts on climate change. Time and again, Congress has made clear that the American people don't want this administration's schemes related to supposed man-made global warming. And time and again, the president has shown that he could not care less about the voice of the people.
For the last generation, we've been told that supposedly a large consensus of scientists believe that the Earth is getting hotter and hotter with each passing year. They say man-made global warming is causing a crisis of unparalleled peril, and that if we don't address this soon, our future itself is at risk.
And solving this crisis is not a question of politics, it is a question of our own survival.
But is it true?
You know, the environmental movement has gone from crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis. We used to have the big crisis was acid rain, and then it was ozone depletion, and for a while, actually, it was global cooling in the 1970s. For about the last 25 years or so, it's been global warming is the crisis, although for the last 16 and a half years now, there has been no global warming. And so now they'll say, well, it's climate change that's the crisis, because they're losing the debate on global warming. They're finding out that human emissions of greenhouse gases are not causing catastrophic warming.
While Congress has rejected cap and trade and all other measures to fight global warming because they would have no significant impact on the global temperature, but would cost hundreds of billions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of jobs, the Obama administration is using EPA regulation, the so-called Clean Power Plan, to force states to do it anyway.
So the president now issues executive orders. He's got these supposed independent agencies taking over and pursuing political agendas, whether it's destroying the coal industry because of ideological reasons, raging a jihad against the coal industry, not to mention oil and gas.
Executive actions with regard to climate change are another good example of executive overreach. Congress considered and rejected legislative proposals that would have involved federal law regulation of the emission of greenhouse gases. When Congress declined to enact such legislation, the EPA said, oh, never mind, we don't need to do it. We find authority under the Clean Air Act to do that on our own. This is a problem because Congress considered and rejected such proposals.
So we've had the EPA, through its executive orders, essentially shut down whole industries, and it is tragic to see what's happened. You know, I live in Virginia. We are a coal state. We produce a lot of coal in Virginia as well as West Virginia. And there are whole towns in the state of Virginia that have been just decimated, you know, literally boarded up, where all that's left is of meth clinics and things like that. And why? Because Obama has basically shut down the coal industry. through his executive orders and through the EPA, and the EPA does not have the authority to do this without Congress. We've seen dozens of coal companies go bankrupt and tens of thousands of Americans losing their jobs.
Every regulation that comes forward has a cost, and that cost is not just additional tax dollars. It may be cost in terms of the jobs that it affects. For example, last year the administration put forward regulations to the Environmental Protection Agency dealing with carbon emissions. If all of those had been put into place, we would have probably lost about 580,000 jobs in the manufacturing sector in this country. It would have affected jobs in about 40-some-odd states. That's a huge cost. Global warming is one of those issues that the left has tried to push. But the reality is, when you do look at the science, there's great evidence that the Earth does have its ebb and flows in terms of temperature. We've not seen a rise in the temperature in the past 18 to 20 years. And so people are beginning to question, what's this agenda really about, and why are we spending all this money on things that basically have no effect on the Earth's temperature?
As you've seen, freedom has been curtailed and the voice of the people ignored through executive overreach. But there's one area in which it has turned deadly. The issue of illegal immigration has now become perhaps the most controversial in the nation. Nevertheless, this president has pursued his own course of action despite our elected representatives, sometimes with tragic results. Our own John Rabe has more.
We need to reform this immigration system so we are a nation of laws and we are a nation of immigrants. And at minimum, we should be able to get DREAM Act done.
The so-called DREAM Act has been considered and rejected by the people's representatives in Congress numerous times. Critics of the act say that it would essentially grant amnesty to millions of undocumented aliens in America today.
Effective immediately, the Department of Homeland Security is taking steps to lift the shadow of deportation from these young people.
So on the DREAM Act, this is something that Congress has continually denied, which is basically to say that people who've lived in the United States for a certain number of years can become legal citizens of this country. And then Obama just issued an executive order saying they can. And for Obama to take this power without any consent from Congress, in my opinion, is unconstitutional, and the courts have said so.
In 2016, the Supreme Court let stand a lower court ruling blocking President Obama's order protecting 5 million illegal immigrants from deportation.
What was unaffected by today's ruling, or lack of a ruling, is the enforcement priorities that we put in place.
In the past 4 years, those enforcement priorities have resulted in a 45% drop in deportations by the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. In 2015, ICE released over 19,000 criminal aliens from its custody who had over 64,000 convictions, including more than 8,000 violent convictions and 208 homicide convictions. This isn't just theoretical politics. Clearly, this executive overreach is a matter of life and death. In Norwich, Connecticut, Wendy Hartling remembers the last time she heard from her 25-year-old daughter, Casey.
She texted or called me every single solitary day. Not one day would go by that we didn't speak and or see each other. And even the night before, she had texted me, you know, good night, I love you, Mom. And I said, I love you, too. And that's the last thing. I'm glad that was the last thing, you know, that we texted to each other.
That was on June 15, 2015. The next day, a detective from the Norwich Police Department broke the news to Wendy.
As soon as he said, this is the hardest part of our job, I knew what he was going to tell me. And so I probably can't even think of the words that he told me. It's just the fact that he told me that my daughter had been murdered. She was stabbed over 15 times, right through her vertebrae. It killed me because I know she suffered. There was no way she didn't suffer.
Jean Jacques, who killed Casey Chadwick, had been convicted of an aggravated crime defined under the Immigration Code and was supposed to be detained and deported by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. ICE had him three times, or released him three times, and the third time in January of 2015, and then on June 15th of 2015, he killed Casey Chadwick.
When I found out he was illegally here and was supposed to be deported, I'm learning things I never knew existed. You know, like ICE not doing their job, you know, not deporting him back to his home country after he had already killed. They let him go three times.
ICE, who tried three times to send Jean Jacques back to his native Haiti in 2012. This after he was released from prison on attempted murder charges.
Jean Jacques went to trial on the charge of murder, and after a two-week trial with overwhelming evidence, was convicted of murder and then sentenced to a life term in Connecticut prisons.
Wendy Hartling testified before a congressional committee.
She was just a very caring, loving, 25-year-old beautiful girl with her whole life ahead of her, and now she's gone. So I was sitting next to a father who had lost his daughter the day after she graduated from college. It's scary to know how much this happens across the United States. It's very scary.
This executive overreach has resulted in a failure to protect our borders, to enforce our immigration laws, and to deport criminals. This despite the fact that the Constitution specifically calls upon the president to, quote, take care that the laws be faithfully executed, unquote.
No parent should ever have to bury their child. And the circumstances of her death, and knowing that she suffered, kills me. My child did exist, and I want people to know that she existed, she was here, and she should still be here.
As you've just seen, executive overreach can be deadly. No matter who the president is, our system was not designed to put so much decision-making and policy-making power into the hands of one person. Yet today we have what some have called the cult of the presidency, in which the president is treated as some kind of lesser monarch who rules by fiat. This is not only contrary to the system the founders gave us, this is downright dangerous. How dare this, or for that matter, any other administration, so cavalierly substitute its own declarations, ignoring the duly passed laws of we, the people? Well, part of the reason this is happening is because too few people know the truth. That's why we put together this special program, and we want to give you an opportunity to have a DVD of this special to share with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think needs to see it. We'll send you a DVD of this program, Power Grab, A Pen, A Phone, and A President, as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, P.O. Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call us at the toll-free number 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. I don't need to tell you that this is an election year, nor do I need to remind you that as a nation, we seem to be heading down a road to insanity. And much of this lunacy has come upon us through a lack of understanding. We will go to the polls in November to make important and possibly irrevocable decisions about the future of America. The stories you've seen on this program today need to be seen by everyone who will cast a vote so that voters can make informed choices. By donating to this ministry, you'll be helping us get the word out on this issue as well as other key issues like gender confusion, socialism, and the attacks on religious liberty. Dear friends, we need your help. There are few others even addressing these issues, and very few from a Christian perspective. We are willing to stand in the gap in defense of our nation and our beloved freedoms, but we need your help in order to do it. Please give a donation to help us continue this vitally important work and receive this special program, Power Grab, on DVD. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, P.O. Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339, or call toll free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org.
For this president to simply say, well, Congress refuses to act, so I'm going to act. And he said that many times. Congress isn't going to act, so I'm going to act. That is not an excuse for him usurping these powers and to become essentially a dictator.
It would also help on the other end, if there were some consequence to executive overreach. When Congress sees the president taking a step that was not authorized by a statute passed by Congress, that's incompatible with our laws and with our Constitution, Congress ought to respond to it by, among other things, withholding funding from the program in question. If Congress did this, then presidents couldn't get away with that kind of activity.
What this administration has done is single-handedly escalated and transformed America as a result of this progressive idea that government is the final solution and the ultimate agent of redemption, not individuals, not the church, and they're doing everything they can to move the church out of her space in our public square.
The Apostle Peter tells us, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we of all people must submit ourselves to the legitimate governing authorities. In America, the highest governing authority is not an emperor. And listen to me carefully, it is not even a person. It is the Constitution of the United States of America. Our Constitution is the supreme authority in the land. And under that Constitution, any president seeking to impose his will on the nation is abusing his office and exercising illegitimate power. When that is the case, Christians, like all other Americans, must stand and defend the Constitution, remembering those who shed their blood in defense of it. This is not a matter of politics. This is a matter of biblical faithfulness. Thanks for joining us on this special program. May God bless you, and may God bless America.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.